Blog Talk Radio.
Do you have an idea?
Yeah.
A dream? One that you are so passionate about but have no clue on how to manifest it? Then sit back, relax, and welcome to Love, Light, and Passion. Here, award-winning social media professional Wendy Manganiello and guests talk about taking that passionate idea and making it an abundant reality. This show is dedicated to the loving memory of Sean Stevenson, whose instinctive ability to motivate others taught Wendy to take a dream and allow the universe to make it into an abundant reality. Wendy is the founder of Social Abundance Marketing. They partner with you and strategically deliver your unique business content onto social media platforms, thus helping you engage and develop your business relationships. After all, making social media abundantly clear is their goal. And now your host, Wendy Manganiello.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another week of Love, Light, and Passion. I'm really excited. Today is one of those two-for-one shows, meaning we have two great guests in 1 hour. Our first guest is Barbara Ficarra. She is... She has a long list of things that she has done in her career, but she is an RN. She's the founder of HealthIn30.com, an award-winning broadcast journalist, health educator, lifestyle expert. It goes on and on. She's been a contributor on Huffington Post, Dr. Oz, and she is here with us today. We were having some technical difficulties. Hopefully, we have got them worked out. Barbara, are you here with us?
I'm here. Hi, Wendy. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really excited that you are on the show. Hopefully, we can hear each other okay now. So we're going to get right into it because I have you for half an hour, and I'm really excited about it because we were talking a few minutes before the show. I'm starting to do some lifestyle changes myself, and it's been an interesting road. So I'm happy to have this conversation with you today because you're passionate about health and healthy lifestyles and how people can change, and not difficult changes, but how people can change their lifestyle and their health and not be go overboard in it. To make a difference in how they feel. And I just have to tell you before we start, I just heard this morning, and I can't remember what it was, but I'm from the East Coast originally, and I live in Kentucky now. And I think Kentucky was one of the states that had the highest increase in obesity rates in the country. It's here in southern Indiana, right next to where we live. And it might have to do with something, the fact that they have 2,500 restaurants in Louisville alone. And so this is a good thing for my listeners here in Louisville, but all over the country, because it's definitely a epidemic that we need to get healthier for ourselves and our children and everybody else. So tell us a little bit about how you got into this and why it's so important to you.
Sure, Wendy. Thanks so much. So I'm really passionate, actually, about trying to share information for people to live healthier. There's so much information out there, and I think sometimes it can be overwhelming. So I like to try to just break it down into small little increments for people to do simple things, really to take small actions or small steps, because it can really have a big impact on their life. And as you mentioned, obesity is a huge problem in America today. And it's really important that we share information for people to learn to live healthier. And it sounds so easy, you know, getting healthier. But and I think because of so much information, but I think if we break it down really into small nuggets, I think it really could help people live a little bit healthier and a little bit more enjoyable, too.
Yeah, I agree with you. I told you that I'm doing this whole 30 diet right now, and honestly, I feel better. I do. I didn't think I would, but I really am feeling better. And my husband, who I did it in the first place for his health issues, I'm laughing because he's feeling better, though he just still doesn't want to admit it. I hear about Pop-Tarts every day, and yesterday he told me he wanted cake with confetti, and I was like, really? We're 22 days in. I think you're going to be okay.
So. Yeah, that's right. We were talking earlier before the show, and there are so many different diet plans out there. There's so many different nutritional plans out there. So I think really the first thing is it's really important for people to talk with their doctors, too, if they are going to make drastic changes with their diet, because you want to make sure that you're able to eat the foods that are talked about in certain diets. For example, I was actually going to mention some whole grains. That's, for example, barley whole grains is really supposed to be very healthy for you. But before the show, you were talking about the diet that you're on, and barley and whole grains are not on the diet. So it's really important to talk with your doctor or healthcare provider to make sure that you can eat the foods that are specified in certain diet plans.
And just eating healthy is just one thing. We're going to get into this more intensely. What are, in general, for people who don't have, my husband with the barley is because we really found out that was just, he's allergic to that. So we found out with that with him. But how, for anybody else who doesn't have such immune issues, like such as my husband, what things can they do to eat healthier?
Well, cutting out processed foods can help. Cutting out foods with added sugars is a big plus for healthy eating. Eat fruits and vegetables. And if you don't have the dietary restrictions, whole grains are really good for you. So some of the food flips, I like to call food flips because I want to flip out the bad and flip in the good. So if you eat white flour pancakes, then you could flip in the barley pancakes, or flip out fruit juice, because some fruit juice can have a lot of sugar. So instead of the fruit juice, flip in an apple or kiwi or pineapple or an orange. Just have a piece of fruit instead. So that's a really small action that you can take, and over time it can be very beneficial to you. So it's really the small steps can have a really big impact.
And when we're talking about, and the one good thing is, and this is what I learned, and what is your ideas when you're talking about fruits and vegetables, what can we do to get kind of the healthier versions? Cause, and that's a lot of confusion too to shoppers, because you go to the grocery store and you go, okay, I'm going to buy this, and you hope that it's healthy because you're looking at the front of the box or you're looking at whatever they have, the organic versus not, and there's so many choices. So what's your, can we focus on to know that we're getting something that's really healthy and meaningful when we go shopping?
Sure. Well, when you're shopping for fruits and vegetables, actually that's in the perimeter of the supermarket typically, because that's where the healthier versions of foods are. So your fruits and vegetables should be really right when you walk in. So loading up on your cart with all the fresh fruits and the fresh vegetables, instead of the canned fruits and vegetables, because the canned foods can have a lot of salt. So to stay away from the salt, really eating fresh foods is really a great option because it's healthy and there's no added preservatives with them. And if you have farmers markets near you also, that's a great thing to be involved with. You just go to the farmer's market and they're loaded with lots of fruits and vegetables.
And you know, it's so funny because I had never been to a farmer's market until I came to Kentucky, and the church down the street, which happens to be ours, but they have the greatest farmer's market. It's like one of the top in Louisville, and I love going there now. I really like enjoy going there. And it's been a very big shift in for me to go and get the fresh, you know, everything. Everything from the meat there is fresh. They have the stands up to the veggies, and it's been really, really good. So when you're doing that and you're looking at ingredients, like that's the other thing is because I've been reading the labels more. It's crazy how many things have sugar in it that you don't think does, or salt.
Exactly, right. Yes, so that's a really good point you brought up. It's really important to read the ingredients on a label. So not just the front of a package, because the front of the package could be really all marketing and make it sound really good and healthy. But then when you flip it over and you read the list of ingredients, you'll actually see how much sugar is in there or how much fat is in there. So you really want to be cognizant of that and really know what you're getting. So and with sugar, even your cereals, some of them are loaded with sugar. So you really want to take the extra time when you're food shopping and go through the ingredients and choose one that's really not loaded with sugar.
I honestly had never realized until I started to do this. I was like, oh my God, there's sugar in everything. There's sugar, like not everything, but I felt like it. I was like, well, can't have this. Got to go and make it. So it's been and you know what I've noticed a lot of is salad dressings.
Yes.
I could not believe the end. Like, there's almost none that you can buy unless you make it yourself that doesn't have sugar in it.
Yeah, making it yourself is a great option, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I'm
it's not really, yeah, it's pretty easy. And yeah, so that's good.
Well, and so I will say this. So we're, like, this family is snackers, which is probably not the greatest of peppers. So when we're talking about snacking and stuff, what is a good option for the snacking family who, you know, I have two boys and they could, like, they're grazers. They could eat all day, both of them. They both grew up the same way. And it's usually because if it's in between meals. So what's the healthiest snack
that
you could
Well, get? I mean, actually just popcorn. If you have an air popper and you just pop popcorn because it is a whole grain, that's really a healthy version instead of potato chips, which is loaded with fats and salt. So if you have popcorn that you can pop, you can add your own toppings to it, whether it's herbs or whatever you like, you can just add to it. So that's one quick snack. Another snack is chickpeas. If you have no dietary restrictions and you can eat chickpeas, I actually take chickpeas and I roast them in the oven with a tiny bit of honey because honey is actually sugar also. So just put a tiny bit, but it's a healthier snack than sometimes when you go and buy prepackaged snacks. They're filled with sugar and fats and everything else. So just trying to watch that. And
this is on a side topic, and you can tell me. But so kale chips are big right now. Do you think those are a healthier option? Like, kale's a big thing, but I see that.
Yeah, fresh kale that you could roast in the oven and make your own kale chips is really good. I like to actually do that. The kale chips in the package, you just need to read the ingredients and make sure they're not that they don't have a lot of fat or a lot of sodium, and just take a look at the ingredients. But roasting them yourself, they're really actually pretty good.
I haven't done that one. I've been using kale more, but I haven't tried that, so I'll have to do that. So what other things, though, can we do in our life to simplify? Because, like, especially for somebody like me who works at a desk all day, and I do try to be active, but for somebody like me or some other people who, because when we talk about obesity, it's dietary, but it's also whether or not we move. I'm sure it has a direct, it has a direct correlation. So what can, how much should an adult be getting physical activities?
That's a great question, because movement is critical. And you just mentioned, too, that you're sitting at a desk. So it's really important to make sure that you are moving throughout the day. So, and you want to get physical activity. So physical activity is anything that makes your body move and burn calories. So it could be anything from walking, jogging, running, swimming, biking. And according to the American Heart Association, they recommend getting 30 minutes of moderate to intense aerobic activity, like walking, jogging, swimming, biking, for example. But 30 minutes to some people can be overwhelming. It could sound like a lot. They'll say they don't have time and it's hard to do. So break that up into small nuggets throughout the day. So maybe 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the afternoon, 10 minutes at night, or 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night. The point is just to move. Do what works best with your schedule. But if you can get in that 30 minutes five times a week, that's really heart beneficial to you. And it's really important. And sneak in activity throughout the day. So if you can take the stairs instead of an elevator, or park your car away from an entrance, or dance. if you're watching TV, also do some movements instead of just sitting and watching it. So that the key with physical activity is just make it part of your day, just keep moving, and it could reap benefits for you. And make it manageable to yourself. Don't make it so overwhelming. Don't say, oh, I have to go run a marathon, because that, I mean, definitely there are people out there doing that, and that is wonderful. But for those who are really having a hard time trying to get physical activity in throughout their day, just do small chunks of activity and make it fun too if you can, because then you're more apt to keep it up.
Yeah, my girlfriends have started a walking club, so they go
that's great.
At night,
mm-hmm.
which has been, I haven't, because I do other, I do Taekwondo and I play softball now, so I haven't been able to catch up
great.
With them. They are having a blast. I'm like, I got to go walking with you guys one night.
Yeah, and they say walking with a buddy or friends is makes you want to continue it. So, yeah, that's really great.
Yeah, no, they've been doing it every night. They walk for about a half an hour to an hour, but they have one girlfriend. Her legs are too long, and they've told her that she can't come anymore until her legs get shorter.
She's probably way ahead of everyone. But that's okay.
So, and what other things? Because, you know, when we look at the body holistically, so there's, you know, what you put in your mouth, and then there's also what you do with your body. And let's talk about sleep for a little bit. How much sleep, I mean, I think Americans, well, okay, and I'm so guilty of this. There's great periods that I'm sleeping well, and then I go through like, oh, I've had 4 hours sleep for the last 6 nights. I don't know how that's happened, and then I want to crash out. So what is the right amount of sleep to get? Like, what is that balance?
Yeah, great question. And according to the Centers for Disease Control, they recommend between 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night. And interestingly enough, not many Americans are meeting that. There are many Americans who are sleep deprived. It's causing difficulty with them concentrating. They're not having control over their emotions and behaviors, and they're not their problem solving is lacking. So it's really a big problem, and the CDC actually declares it an insufficient sleep as a public health epidemic. Excuse me. So it's sleep is just as important as moving, is just as important as eating healthy. So we really need to focus on that to make sure people are getting enough sleep. You know, everyone is so busy. They're in so many different directions. They're juggling so many things. They're trying to do everything, and they kind of put sleep as a priority, but it's really, really important to make sleep a priority just as much as eating healthy and moving more. So 7 to 8 hours for adults.
7 to 8 hours? Wow. I don't know. Even when I think that I'm sleeping a good night, I think it's 6 hours at maximum. And that's a really hard thing. I'm sure there's other people like this. If you're in that sleep pattern, that it's like 11 o'clock at night, and I'm like, okay, I should be going to bed, but my body is so used to it, I want to that pattern that it doesn't fall. It's not doesn't feel tired till midnight, like then it's tired.
Well,
but,
do you deactivate all your technology beforehand and keep the room dark and do all the good things?
Big thing. They say an hour before, right? Mm-hmm. It's an hour before, yes. And when I used to read, before I was getting my master's, that's what I would do because I would have that deflect time. Now I do my homework right up to the time I go to sleep. But there's a lot of truth to that, and I can even see it with my son, that if we take everything away and say, okay, go read a book before you, he's out in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good, yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's a lot with that. I think that we're so connected that we don't shut down.
Yes.
We're
always going.
Mm-hmm. And cell phones have really made it difficult to shut down. I mean, that's the one thing. If I don't leave it in another room or forget it, it would go off all night. And I think that's a big piece to that.
I think a lot of people feel that way too. Yeah, but I think you're right though. Leaving it in another room, that's a great idea. This way, you're not tempted to check it.
Yeah. Oh, and for me, because I do social media for a living, I could literally be on it 24/7 at night. I'm like, okay. And I started to do that. I started to realize that, like, I don't have to have every email ping through. I don't have to. Right. I can just. And it is reduced, which we're going to talk about next, the amount of stress that I'm under when I'm constantly.
Right.
That email came through. Like I can check my emails either in the morning or at night. I don't have to check them. So that's another thing is what does the body do when it's dry. I mean, I can't imagine. It's not. It doesn't feel good. That's for sure. I try to.
Oh yes.
But what does it do?
Mm-hmm. Stress, it could wreak havoc, yes. And, it could cause heart disease and so many other things. And it's so really important to focus on stress. So as much as you're focusing on your sleep, as much as you're focusing on healthy eating and moving, you really need to focus on stress. And that really means taking time for you. So I like to say take 15 minutes every day just for you, for no one else, but just for you, because we're so busy. Everyone's doing so many things for so many other people. And I hear so many women say that they don't have time for themselves, and they don't, and they just don't do anything for themselves. So when I say take 15 minutes every day, it doesn't have to be anything fancy or dramatic. It could just simply mean read a book or take a bath or just sit and do nothing, really. I mean, it's just anything where you're by yourself and you have that moment of calmness and peace, and it's just you and no one else. This way you can kind of just be among with yourself and kind of decrease that stress level, because everyone's running and juggling so many things, so it's really, really important to find what you like to do and be still and quiet 15 minutes a day, really, just to focus on yourself.
And I think that's, and when you talk about women, I think that's a good, I think we have probably, and not that men do not get stressed, but we have the habit of taking on the world, for, you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean, because we're so many things to so many people. And
right.
I think even when I talk to, a lot of the women that are my girlfriends, that's the one thing is saying, okay, when are we going to stop for us? Because we can get so wrapped up in everything. So I think that's a key thing to keeping. And I think you think better when you're not stressed, when when you have that moment, because if you take 15 minutes, maybe everything isn't, if you're 10, have a tendency to get overwhelmed. It's not as overwhelming. You can go, okay.
Right. Exactly. Right. If you're going to say, oh, I need like 5 hours right now by myself, I mean, that realistically may not happen because you're involved with so many other things. But 15 minutes, I think we can all find 15 minutes throughout the day where we could just be by ourselves and do nothing or read a magazine or whatever it is you like to do. Just kind of let everyone else go and just focus on yourself. And men, too. I mean, men should be also doing that as well. I mean, it's really important that we kind of decrease our stress levels.
Yes, and that goes back to shutting off the phone in order for
exactly.
But for somebody new that is feeling like, I need to do something, I need to do something, I'm not there quite there yet. But I know, like, they feel it. They feel like, okay, I can't keep doing that. This, whatever it is, they feel, whatever, if they're eating or they're not exercising, I have to do something. And this is, if anything, we're coming closer to summer. And I think, because people start to think of summer, they're like, oh, I got it. It's the time of year to do this. Other than it right after, January, because they want to go outside and they want to feel good. So what can people do to take charge of their health? Like, so that they can say, if they're in that, okay, no, I really do need to make a change. What can they do?
Well, I think the first thing that they can do is really to think in small steps. Don't be overwhelmed with wanting to change everything all at once. It's not about a major overhaul, living healthy. It's really about focusing on small things, because otherwise, if you want to change everything, it's going to be too overwhelming and it may not happen. But if you say you want to do one thing, you want to eat a little bit better, so choose one thing that you can change, that you know you can stick to and that you can change, and then work on that. And then when you're ready for the next level, then choose something else. But I think if everyone thinks in smaller steps, I think it could have a really big impact instead of trying to do everything. And then another thing also what people can really do to focus on living healthier is really to stop the negative self-talk and think a little bit more positive. I think sometimes we're our own worst enemies in terms of our critical thinking, but if we're a little bit more positive in our thinking about ourselves, it really can be beneficial. And actually, the Mayo Clinic writes about it, and they say positive thinking can increase your lifespan, it can lower rates of depression, it can reduce the risk of heart disease. So that's another thing that's really a simple thing to do, but I think we all do it, and I think we really need to focus on being a little more positive. You know, we're always, like, picking ourselves apart or something, you know, women in particular, and that's, we really need to stop doing that. We really need to celebrate who we are and what we've accomplished and what we do and how good we really are instead of on the negative, and I think it really could be beneficial to our health. So it's really important to be empowered and in charge of your health and do all these things that can make you live a little bit better, but do it in small increments because otherwise it may not get done if you want to change everything. So small steps can really have a big impact.
That I like that too. I think that's really important that you say that because you have people who will say, oh, I'll do all of this stuff, and then they get frustrated because with themselves instead of saying, okay, let's celebrate what I did do right today.
Yes. Yeah.
And go from there.
So, right. And even, I mean, people talk about journals a lot, but when you write things down in a journal, I think it really could be cathartic and it really can help you. So why not write down what you did today that was so good or, you know, how you helped somebody or, you know, something positive at work or something positive with your family or your children. So it's really important that we celebrate ourselves a little bit more. I think definitely we're a little hard on ourselves. So I think that could definitely help people live a healthier life.
I think you're right, too, because I don't think sometimes until you write it down, you don't realize what you've actually done, and it's good to see that. You know, well, and I have one other question, and then we're almost out of time, but I do want to talk about this because I see it as something that you talk about. Medications I think because I see some of the stuff that you talk about, and a lot of people, not that there's anything wrong with medications if they're doctor prescribed, but they don't know what they're prescribed for. They don't know why they're taking them.
Yes.
And so I think it's a really important point that you have if you want to discuss that for
Okay, sure. Well, I absolutely see this in the hospital as I work as a nurse in the hospital, and I see this all the time where patients will come in and you ask them what they're taking, and they have no idea. They may describe it as a pink pill, a blue pill, a yellow pill, orange pill, or whatever it is, but they actually don't know what they're taking. So it's really important that they have this information written down because you never know when you are going to need it in a hospital or even in your doctor's office. You'll keep a log of everything you're taking. So a medical history form, if you have any allergies, make sure it's written on there. Actually, on the website, healthin30.com, you can print out a medical form. And I actually have them, and I keep it in my wallet. And I know there's some apps, and I know technology is huge, and you can absolutely do that as well. But if not, you can just pen and paper works well. But it's really important to know what you're taking. Sometimes some people are on so many medications they really don't know. But if you have it written down, it's information that your doctor and nurse needs to know. And even if you're taking supplements too, make sure you write those down as well, because sometimes prescription medications can interfere with supplements. So you want to make sure that you have everything written down and you give it to your doctor and nurse. So that's something simple.
Yeah, no, and I just think that's so important because because we take medicines, and again, if doctor prescribed and all that stuff, but they do, I think that's so important. Like, it's just a whole bunch of pills, you know? And, because I know my husband's on quite a few, and like, we got to the point where we had to put him in the day thing. He's like, I feel like I'm old. I'm like, yes, but you know what you're taking this way. You know, I just think that smarter about what we do and how we do that. So the great advice about the medicine. I have had a delightful time talking with you. Our half an hour is over. I could ask you so many more questions, but I want to thank you so much for coming on today And,
oh, thank you.
Do this again on some other topics, but it has been absolutely delightful. Thank you so much.
Oh, and thank you, Wendy.
You're welcome. And again, healthin30.com is how they can find you?
Yes, healthin30.com. And coming soon, there will be a BarbaraSakara.com with all this, a little bit of different information, but it'll be coming soon at some point. But
great.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Wendy. I really appreciate you having me on.
Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Okay, bye.
And next, we are going to have, we are on a hot show today, so we are going to have a new person on. I'm really excited. She's been on hold. Her name is Steph Young. She is the author of the book No Plus One, and co-author of the book No Plus One. And I'm really excited because if you are single out there and you have that mindset of I have to find a man today because somebody has talked to you, and I can't wait to talk to her on this topic because or if you're a married couple and you look at single people and go, oh, I'm so glad I'm married, I think this is going to be the right person to talk to. So I'm really excited. We're going to pull her on air right now. Steph, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and I'm actually surprised. I actually have my co-author here, Jill, with me as well. It happened to be that it worked out. So sorry to spring that on you, but we're both here.
Hello.
Hi, Jill. I'm so excited. This is a bonus. How fabulous. And I have to say, Steph, I saw you on Eraldo, so like very jealous. The very nice Italian background was very nice on Skype. I just want to tell you.
it was pretty fantastic. I wasn't mad about that.
I could see that. Well, oh, let's get talking then. I'm really excited because I read your stuff and I read some of the inserts of your book, and I just can't wait to talk to you because I've been married, tomorrow will be 12 years. Oh, geez, that's a long time. I think it's longer than that. 14 years, I'm sorry. 14, it's somewhere around the 13, 14, I don't know. My husband's much better at keeping those dates. Anyway, but I'm excited because, you know, I always hear these two mindsets, and I love the idea of your book because it took me, and I cheated a little bit. I watched Geraldo's interview, but even when I was single, it took me, I love that, knowing myself before I could actually meet my husband and something good happened instead of all the people I dated before that. So I'm really excited because there seems to be sometimes two mindsets out there. One is that you have to get married or you have to have somebody. And the other is once you're married is, oh my gosh, I don't want to be single again. So I think your book is awesome because it gives you freedom in being single. So let's talk about that for a second.
Let's talk about it. First of all, congratulations. That's an amazing feat, 14 years of marriage. 14 years of any commitment is pretty awesome. So congratulations.
I had to look a little time, but yes, we did the whole renew vow.
And I will say that, you know, Jill and I have worked on this project for a long time. We saw a lot of friends go through all phases of life. And what we found was a lot of people really didn't know how to be single. And it wasn't really, this book isn't about promoting being single or, you know, dissing relationships or saying that you never have to want to be in a relationship. Or it really is just acknowledging a phase of life that we are all going to go through, whether it's for 2 weeks or 10 years. And really giving a guide to help people understand what it is they can get out of a single life, because we just noticed that a lot of our friends really didn't know what to do, especially those who have gotten out of a relationship. As you mentioned, you know, if you've been married, you don't want to be single again. A lot of people don't know how to be on their own and what they should be doing with their time and what they should be focusing on. So we really just wanted to give a helpful guide to help people through it all.
I think that's fantastic, but I think it's partly is because there's so many there's just so many misgivings about, you know, and being able to do it with confidence. So tell me a little bit about what people can learn to expect from your book. Like, what's the big lesson that they need to read this for? Because I think, you know, again, because of what we think in our heads or what people start to think, or that old, you know, grandma that says you have to be this way or that way. So what can they expect from your book?
Yeah, it's actually written in chapter format. There are 9 helpful chapters, and they are all separated by different lessons you should be learning. So there are 9 lessons, but in all, if I had to put it in a nutshell, it's really about being confident and unapologetic in your own life and not really succumbing to the pressures of feeling like you are less than a person. You know, if you haven't found, you know, your true love or a marriage or a family or whatever have you. It's really about enjoying where you're at and taking full advantage of it, living fully as a single person.
And I love that, because when I hear that you're doing things like trips to Italy and stuff, I think that's really important. I think that, you know what I mean, being able to, like, say, just sit with that and go, this is fantastic. You only get to do that, you know, you might be able to do it, but you want to do it once and well and live and have fun and not rush into, just enjoy it. So, what's your favorite lesson from the book? Or actually, now that I have 2 of you, do you have different favorite lessons? Same. I just am curious.
I'll step in here on this one. This is Jill. I think one of my favorite lessons is to not overthink all the advice that you're hearing from all around you. I think that sometimes it's easy to get bogged down in what everybody else is saying, and really all anybody can say is what worked for them or what didn't work for them. And so it's your own self-discovery. Once you discover more about yourself, it's easier to filter all of those things that are coming in at you from all different angles, whether it's from your friends or people you're dating or books or movies or whatever's influencing you. It's easier to filter those and be strong and confident in yourself when you know who you are and what you want.
Yeah, and just to add on that, you know, Jill and I, we've been friends for a long time. We've been single friends for a long time. And we used to have, you know, some parts of life where we felt really down on ourselves because we were saying, like, oh, I'm trying to get out more. I'm trying to do this differently. We're taking the advice of all these friends. And we were still single in the end. And it really started to make us feel that something was wrong with us. And the big lesson of this book is that nothing is wrong with you. You know, there are many factors that, you know, that go into finding a relationship if that's what you're after. And it's not because you're doing something wrong 9 times out of 10. So it's really about, you know, learning, like as Jill said, you know, to be confident in that and just, you know, don't worry about it. Don't take it to heart.
And what, can we talk about chapter 1 for a second? Because I really do like what you have to say about your chapter 1, because I think that has a lot to do with what you're talking about and not feeling bad. And because you talk about meeting yourself, and I think that's key to being okay and not feeling like you need to listen to all of your friends.
Yeah. And it can be a long learning process. I was raised Mormon, so it was hard for me when I went from being super religious to figuring out where I stood in the world, spirituality-wise, religion-wise, just my general opinions. Having to discover that for myself was a longer process than I thought it was going to be. It wasn't as easy as, like, oh, this is what I think and here's why. I needed to figure out why I thought those things. Why was I having my opinion? Was it because it's what I had been raised to believe, or was it what I really believed based on my interactions with the world and people around me? And it's not as easy as just saying, oh, I read this book, and so now I believe that. It took many, many years for me to really discover and stand firm in some of my beliefs and opinions.
And I think that's a good thing. And I think if you learn that while you're single, it's so much easier when you do have a partner later. That's really the truth. At least that's been my lesson. When I learned all of those lessons, and not that I still don't learn lessons, but I know for myself that every time I try to, I call it trying to put two, how did I used to say it when I was single? Anytime I put two in relationships, two halves don't equal a whole. And that's the truth of it.
Yeah.
Because it's not okay with yourself, then it's hard. And so when it starts to not matter, like you say, because you're comfortable with being single, then you can be comfortable being single, and it doesn't matter either way. And I think that's a really, and I think it's a hard thing when we do have a society that says you're supposed to do A, B, C, and D, and finding yourself and standing with that. How does your book contribute to a living a healthy lifestyle?
I can take this one. This one's Beth. I think a healthy lifestyle comes from a very strong sense of who we are as people. It helps guide everything you do, from how you treat people to what your life decisions are, a job, how you spend your day, who you spend your time with. And setting yourself on the right course is setting yourself up to be healthy, non-stress, happy. And I think our book does a really good job of setting people up to figure out what that path is. It has, you know, it really talks about you, you alone, you only, and what are you going to do and what do you like? And I really think those are the building blocks of living a very happy life. I can speak from experience in myself, and I know Jill can too. We've both gone through incredible journeys, which we wrote about. And I think both of us are very competent people who are leaders in our communities, who contribute, you know, and are positive. And, you know, that's what we wrote about. So I do think they're tied very closely. And, you know, finding yourself, being confident in who you are, being happy with the lifestyle you've chosen leads to a lot of other happiness.
And I totally agree with you. And I was thinking, because while you're talking, because you guys, I've read your bio. You guys have been, I like that, friends forever. I think that's awesome. But I like also your title, by the way, because I saw it somewhere, and now I'm trying to remember where I read it, but it says, No Plus One, a Romantic Comedy. And so I think the good thing about you learning, your sounds to me from what I take, is that not only have you been able to do this, but you've also been able to do it with a sense of humor. And I'm sure there was painful life lessons,
yeah,
but it sounds like you've been able to do it with a sense of humor. And how important is that when you're single?
I think having a sense of humor is really important when you're single. Not only being able to not take yourself too seriously, or not take dates you go on too seriously, or having a girlfriend who can help lighten it up when it does seem really serious. Like Stephanie said, we both have gone through periods of time when we felt like we were doing it wrong, or there was something lacking in us that made it impossible for us to get in relationships, when for some people it seems to happen at the drop of a hat. And so having somebody close by, or you know, if you don't have somebody close by to help you out, then No Plus One is maybe your girlfriend that you can turn to help lighten the mood and remind you that everybody does kind of go through things. And these are all learning experiences. And at the end of the day, if you can't laugh about going on a date where someone barks out your window, then things are too serious.
Yeah. Okay.
Jill had a date where someone actually started barking out of the window, and she told me about it afterward, and we were just like, are you kidding me? What just happened in real life?
That is really funny.
I mean, that could really make you sad at the state of your option.
That's incredible. That's a good laughable moment.
And I also think, too, like you mentioned the full title is No Plus One, What to Do When Life is Not a Romantic Comedy, and that actually originated, we felt a very strong stigma with being single, that, you know, every romantic comedy about a quirky single girl is like, you know, and in the end, she always finds a man. And it's like, well, what if that doesn't happen? And what if you're not adorably quirky? And, you know, what if you don't have a fabulous, glamorous lifestyle? You know, we were just kind of feeling like a single girl's reality wasn't being represented. And that was one of the main reasons we chose this title and we wrote the book, to be quite honest, is to let people know, as Jill mentioned, that, you know, you're not alone. This is totally normal, and it's not always glamorous. It's not always movie worthy, and it's okay. Like, it can still be really, really, really awesome.
And I think that's good, because that goes to there's a sense that, because when I think of you know, young girls, like teenagers and stuff, I think that's where the self-esteem can go awry if they don't realize that. You know what I mean? That their life isn't going to be like the last movie they saw, or any of the ones that they may have watched in their childhood. And I think that, there is an important lesson to that, and then yet still have a sense of humor about it. But I think it starts somewhere in those teenage years where you start to develop that ideology. And it's based off of a lot of the movies and stuff that we've watched. So I think that that's a key thing that you're saying. But speaking of teens, because this reminds me of it, you give homework in your book.
We sure do.
Leaders get out of doing their homework. Although I like books with homework. I'm strange like that. But you guys can tell me. So.
And I'm sorry, what was the question?
Are
we just talking about homework?
Yeah, we're talking about homework.
Yeah.
I'm a strange bird. I like homework, but what kind of homework do you give in your book, and why do you give that?
I think we give it to give everybody an opportunity to try out the things we're saying, and mm-hmm. to keep in mind that these are all things that have worked for us. So if they don't work for everybody, that's okay, but it gives somebody kind of a guideline to discover the things that we talk about in each chapter and give them a, here, try this. Since we already talked about chapter one, we give some homework about picking a subject and creating a strong argument on both sides of the issue and be convincing as possible for both sides, and then figuring out where you really stand, where are your emotions lying with that. And having to really think about those things and be articulate and thoughtful in something as simple as one argument for or against something, I think empowers you too. It makes you feel strong in your opinion and strong as a person. And the next time you go out into the world, it gives you a little bit more power in yourself.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I really love it. See, I'm
and the reason we really wanted homework as well, because we didn't want an empty book. We wanted, our goal is really to help people and to reach people and help people discover what we have both discovered and to make an impact. And so we thought that we wanted this to be as tactical as possible, and we truly wanted it to be useful, a guide, a guideline.
I think I really do like that. I think for some reason I'm the strange bird, but I think homework has to do with I'm still under the brains of, if you do homework, it reinforces what you've learned. So I think that's mm-hmm. a good thing when you have a book, and it sounds like your homework is very insightful for the person, so that they can really see in the different aspects of who they are and what they are and what they believe in. I think that's fantastic. So is this book, because we've talked all about singles, but is this book just for singles, or is it like for anybody because who likes homework like myself, or who's it?
I think that it could be for anybody. I've known multiple married people who have read the book, and they said that it's really enjoyable and they've gotten a lot out of it, and that they would recommend it to singles and married or coupled people alike. It's just about really knowing yourself, and anybody in any situation in life can benefit from that. I mean, there definitely are some situations that are going to apply more to a single lifestyle than to a married lifestyle. But overall, I think anybody can walk away from No Plus One and feel like they know themselves a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree, and I've had the same feedback of people that have that I've sent the book to, who are married and have read it. And for instance, one chapter called "Romancing Yourself" is all about what to do when there's not somebody around, when you don't have a boyfriend or significant other around. But I've gotten the feedback that these exercises are useful even for coupled up people. It can be going to dinner by yourself. I think the other part lesson in that book was, buying sexy lingerie for nobody but yourself and dressing mm-hmm. up or starting a dance party by yourself. I mean, all of those things you can do, when you're in a couple or without. And it really does, it's all about you, regardless of the situation you're in.
And I like that. And I, again, all that idea, we just had Barbara on the phone who was just talking about giving yourself 15 minutes a day to do something for yourself. But this is a good roadmap, what you're talking about, whether it's married or not. But to do that, to learn how to do things for yourself, you know, like you suggested, so that you feel more comfortable with who you are. And I think that's really important. So that just reinforces what I just heard in the last segment. So you have a chapter called The X-Files. And I love the name of the chapter, by the way. But how do people get over their exes? Because if I remember correctly, way back when, it was a long time ago, ladies, but when I would have an ex, my immediate reaction was, I wasted all that time. So what kind of lessons can, you know, because that's, you know, I spent 2 years with somebody, and I remember that feeling like, oh my gosh, I just wasted 2 years of my life. And it, you know, so what's your thoughts on somebody who may be going through a breakup and having those feelings?
Those are hard feelings to get through, and I have definitely been there and felt like if that wasn't who I was supposed to be with, then what was I doing? Why did I spend a year and a half or 2 years with that person? And, I mean, honestly, my longest relationship has been 2 years. And you know their family, you know their grandma, their grandpa, and it's so hard to feel like, well, why do I know all of those people? They're in my life. How do I just walk away from that? And it's heartbreaking, and it takes a long time to get over. And I think what that chapter is about is not forgetting that part of your life or saying, well, that was a waste of my time, but honoring that time and who you were during that relationship and probably what you learned about yourself and what you want out of a relationship and what you can move forward into your next relationship or out into the world by yourself, because who knows when your next relationship is going to come. And that wasn't wasted time. You were still, you built a relationship, you learned a lot about yourself, you got to make some beautiful memories, and that sounds all like wooey-hooey, but, you know, going through it, it's always going to be devastating for quite a bit of time. And there are some things that we outline in the chapter of, that's okay, here's how you can get over it. Try not to stay at home and wallow by yourself for 24 hours a day for 2 months. That's not going to be helpful. But, you know, allow yourself to mourn that, just like you would the end of anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think also, you know, the point of getting over an ex is not necessarily, to Jill's point, to forget about it or to say that it was wrong. But the point of the chapter is to help you move forward, because we've seen so many people get hung up on the past that they cannot live their future. They cannot even live their present. They are so hung up in the past, and that kind of goes against the point of the book, which is enjoy the situation you're in right now. So definitely acknowledging, you know, how hard it is to get over a breakup. I think we would both be remiss to say that we're awesome at it and can do it, you know, in a heartbeat. Like, everybody goes through pain. This is not a way to get you out of the pain, but it is, again, tactical to help you, you know, how do you get out of the house when you just want to sit there and cry for 12 hours? What is the step you should take? And that's kind of where we go with this chapter.
And that's the key thing is that you were talking about it, is that life is not over. It may feel like it in the moment of it, but it certainly is not. And you never know what's going to happen next. And it's hard to know if you're wallowing for, you know, 2 months, 24 hours a day. It really is. You're like, oh, this is all that's it. Meanwhile, you're still sitting in it. Everybody else has moved on. It might be time for you to also. And I think that, not for everybody, but I think it's one of the more important lessons to life is that there's always another side after a breakup. And I certainly have learned my lessons of it. And I would like to not have anybody have to go through it, but I think it's a good growing process to know who you are and what you can really become and stand on your own. So, we have about 4 minutes left with the. So we have about 4 minutes left. What's in the single life toolkit?
There's a couple of things in the Single Life Toolkit. The first one is the awesome list, and Jill and I were pretty adamant about using this, even though it's kind of out of left field. I'll tell the story quickly. One day we were sitting around, we were roommates at the time, and I don't know how we started, but we just started talking about how I think we were trying to give ourselves a pep talk. Like, I don't know why he doesn't like you, or I don't know why he doesn't like me. I'm pretty amazing. And then we kind of just batted that back and forth and came up with this really, really fabulous list of why we were awesome people. And we wrote it down that day, and we decided that that was a really good exercise, and we often pull that back up, and I still do it when I need a pep talk, whether it's getting over a man or just kind of getting through a bad day, is remembering that I am pretty awesome and I have a lot to offer, and I don't need somebody else to validate that for me. And then the second part of it, of the toolkit, is it's quite literally titled What Things to Do When You're Bored. A lot of being single isn't as glamorous as having a million dates every night, especially if you don't live in a huge city and there's not tons to do. So it really was meant to be a guide of, okay, I'm just sitting here by myself and I have 3 hours until I'm going to go to bed and I'm totally bored and I'm totally lonely and I'm about to call my ex. What do I do? So it's things like, you know, make un-Christmas cards and send them to your friends. I mean, there's all sorts of little crazy ideas in there, but it's really just to help you understand how to fill your time up when you really don't have anything else to do and you're tempted to, you know, settle for less in the man department at that point in time.
I think that's incredible. I love that. I'm thinking to myself, we need to give that list to my son. Probably not everything on it, but I would who could use a list like that. I think that's phenomenal. I think that's important, though, is that you do have things to fill your time when you're in those things. Like, I think that's phenomenal. I love that idea. The un-Christmas cards I might actually use even. that's awesome. We have about two more minutes, really. Can you tell everybody how they can get your book? I'd love for everybody to know, because I think it's I think it's awesome. I want everybody to read it, married, single. I think that knowing who you are and being able to be comfortable with yourself is a life lesson no matter what age or relationship that you're in. So where can people get your book?
Amazon is the best place to find it. Just go on there, search No Plus One. It pops right up as the first search. You can also go to noplusonebook.com, and it's on there.
Okay, great. I want to thank you so much for the both of you. I got such a nice surprise to have the both of you today. Thank you both for being on air with me today. It has been great, and these half an hour of interviews always go so fast, but it was really, really nice having you both on. Thank you so much, ladies.
Yeah,
thank
you
for
having
us.
Yeah.
Have a
good day. You too. Next week, we're going to have Amy Holly from Holly Wraps on, and she is the gift-giving extraordinaire. She is going to tell you how to give a gift from everybody to your best friend to the corporate business that you do work with. She will not miss anything. I'm really excited to have her on air. I've known Amy for about 3 years, and she makes the most beautiful boxes I've ever seen. Everything you give to somebody else, they can reuse that box for anything, and they're always phenomenal. But she's going to go through why it's so important to gift and how to do it in a quite the classy way, and it really is her passion. So right now, we are going to end the show. It was great to have everybody on air. And we'll talk next.
Barbara Ficarra, founder of HealthIn30.com, a registered nurse, is an award-winning broadcast journalist, international speaker, health educator, writer, featured contributor at the Huffington Post, and consultant. A lifestyle expert, Barbara offers practical advice for consumers. She focuses on health and wellness and delivers her trademark brand of advice, which is simple, useful, and trustworthy information to help empower people to take charge of their health. She has dedicated her career to help people live healthier. Barbara is a contributor to DrOz.com, and she is a recognized leader in the healthcare industry. She is a leading voice in health, and her focus is consumer empowerment, patient engagement, healthcare social media, health and wellness, telehealth, and digital health. Barbara also addresses the professional audience by speaking at conferences and providing the latest trends in social media, technology, and patient engagement. To connect with Barbara Ficarra, go to healthin30.com. You've been listening to Love, Light, and Passion with Wendy Manganiello. Visit her at www.socialabundancemarketing.com.